fighting strong drink, beer, liquor, wine, and all like that. And he's talking about the harmful effects of beer and on your body, and he said it caused you to, he's a big man, had a gut about that big. And when he said that, he said it caused you to have many things. He said it hurt the beer, liquor, and wine. He said now it caused you to have gain a lot of weight. He said now, folks, this is not a beer gut. It's chicken coop right here. Well, when Brother Jody asked me to, I'm going to preach the fifth Sundays of the month of fifth Sundays of there are four of them, and then on Wednesday night the fourth, and I'm going to teach. I preached last Sunday week ago, and I'm teaching on these Wednesday nights, and ever. Preach all sermons, preaching should have some teaching in it, and all teaching so should have some preaching in it. So I'm going to teach and preach a little bit on the side to you, get a few punches in. Now, does everyone have one of these outlines? Men, come raise your hand if you do not have one of these outlines I'm going to use tonight. Just raise your hand and write down here some and over here some. Can you all read? Can you young people read? You can, can't you? Right down here on the first row. Any other? Just raise your hand as I come by. This will help you to understand. Now, let me say just a word. I'm teaching rightly dividing the word, a book, and it's, I'll tell you, there's two books put out by Clarence Larkin, Rightly Dividing the Word, and the big, thick, on the Millennium, or on, I forget the name of it now. What's the name of that big book, Brother Jody? Dispensational Truth, right. Now, we have these out here. You can get them tonight. Now, you need, really, everyone needs one of these. On Wednesday night, I'm going to teach every fourth Wednesday night, and I'm going to be teaching out of this book. And you need one of these, and it's $7. You can get them out there. They have some. Now, these are hardbacks, and they cost a little over $20, and our church will order one of these for you if you want it. And let me get to my notes right quick, and I've got something. Well, I've got the wrong page out there. Well, right here it is. Just hang right with me. I'm going to get everything in order up here. But I was going to say, years ago we had Al Silver and June Silver. Al was our song leader, and June was his wife. And I taught through Rightly Dividing the Word while they were here. And June, about at least 30 years later, she called me up and said, "Preacher," she said, "I remember you teaching Rightly Dividing the Word." That's over 30 years ago then when she called me. And she said, "I went by and bought Rightly Dividing one of these books to give to my son Chad, so I wanted him to believe what was in this book after I'm gone and gone to heaven." So you can need your, if you want to have your child to be a fundamental, premillennial, pre-tribulation rapturist, that book will help you. Let me get right to it now. Now, these are just $7, the paperback out there, and you can get them after the service tonight. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this privilege of coming into your presence. And Lord, when I'm trying to teach these eternal truths, Lord, I need your help. And I pray the Holy Spirit will help me and touch me. Lord, I can't do it without your help. And Lord, I want to be a blessing. And I want us to all to come to a greater appreciation of divine truth as a result of this service. Speak to our hearts. Encourage us in the things of the Lord, and bless this unworthy preacher. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the second chapter of Rightly Dividing the Word is Ages and Dispensations, but tonight I'll be only on ages. And then 4 weeks from that I'll be on dispensations. Let me just, you got the outline there. And the definitions of an age, scripturally speaking, is a period of time between two great physical changes in the Earth's surface. For example, the present age that we live in today began with the flood and ends with the second coming. And life was reduced with the flood. Men lived before the flood for about 900 years. And then it was reduced. Life expectancy was reduced down from 900 to 75 to 100 years since then. And that's the way it is today. The average man and woman lives to be in the 70s, average. And then after the second coming of Christ, during the millennium, life expectancy will be 1,000. We'll live, if we're on the earth there, we'll live the entire 1,000-year reign of Christ. I'm looking forward to the reign of Christ and living with him. Then, now the dispensations, we'll talk next week about it, but a dispensation, look at your outline there, is a moral or a probationary period in the world's history. In other words, the dealing of God with man in a special time period. And God deals with man differently in different ages and different times. And he meant in the Old Testament, in the legal dispensation, he dealt with them in law. But today in the church dispensation, he deals with us with grace. Aren't you glad we don't live under law today? We're under grace, the mercy of God. I thank God for his mercy. And if you have your Scofield Reference Bible, look at the first page there, on 3, and we see that, let's see, note 4 on page 5, note 4. A dispensation, if you don't have a Scofield Bible, just listen. A dispensation is a period of time during which man is tested in respect of obedience to some specific revelation of the will of God. And there's 7 such dispensations distinguished in Scripture. So you can keep your Bibles open to the Revelation 1, Genesis 1 there, please, and we'll start off mainly in from right there tonight. But now there's some, I know a man, J.B. Williams, one time preached to when we're in the chapel over, and he preached that there's 4 dispensations. Well, that's okay, but most fundamentalists believe there are 7 dispensations where God deals with man in different ways. But one thing about it, God's plan of salvation is always the same in every dispensation. We're saved by grace through faith in any dispensation. I know Abraham was called out of Ur of the Chaldees, and he was out when he got over into the land where God led him. He looks up one night, and Abraham was about 100 years old, and his wife was about 90, and he said to Abraham, "See all those stars?" And he said, "Your posterity will be just like as many as those stars, uncountable." And you know, there was a man, 100 years old, and his wife 90, and he looked up, and the Bible says that he believed God, and God counted it to him for righteousness. And that's the way, you know, we're born again. When the Holy Spirit speaks to us, we open our heart, receive Christ. If the Holy Spirit's speaking, receive Christ, we're born again by our faith in what God says. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now let's look at get to the creative ages in our study tonight. In Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now I had heavens in my outline and changed it because it's in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And that was a revelation to me because it clears up the matter, a lot of matters. God only created earth and its solar system and not all the universe at this time. He may have just created the earth and its atmosphere around us. We don't know. There's a lot of things we don't. Now, by the way, I'm giving you a lot of the things we're theories tonight. We know God created the heavens and the earth. We know that. But we don't know how, see. And so God created the earth and its solar system, and he may have created here in this verse 1 the earth and its atmosphere around it. And look at the original, our pre-Adamite earth. It was created in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And that is the original creation. Now, the manner, the Bible doesn't say. It wasn't revealed to us. But in Genesis 1:3 through 31, there are 6 days of recreation or restoration of the earth. Then in verse 2, we have the chaotic earth. I better see. Well, you got the clock right in front of me, so I know where I'm going. We have the chaotic earth in verse 2. Look at verse 2 of Genesis 1, first chapter. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now the earth in verse 1 was a beautiful place, but something happened. And in verse 2, it became without form and void. The manner of the original earth was destroyed was by water, and it covered the face of the earth, and nothing survived. Now, turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, and we have a little explanation of it. Jeremiah, the 4th chapter. Jeremiah 4, verse 23. We see what a little description here of what happened in that chaotic earth. And I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, and they had no light. And I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. And I beheld, and lo, there was no man, with all the birds of the heaven, and all the birds of the heaven were fled. And behold, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness, and all the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of the Lord, and by his fierce anger. And then we come to the present earth in... go back to Genesis 1, and this is the, it was in Genesis 1, verse 3, and God then said, let there be light, and there was light. So it was created or recreated in 6 days from Genesis 1, 3 to 31. And he recreated and restored the earth the first 4 days. And I didn't realize this for a long time, but he didn't start creating until the 5th day. And then God created the fish and the fowl on the 5th day, and 6 day he created animals and man. Now there are fossils remaining of marine animals and land animals and giant birds, and many think there remains of the original or pre-Adamite earth. Now there's three views of our theories of creation. Now notice, folks, I said theories. I didn't say facts, because creation is a fact. But the manner and details is a theory. We know God did it, but we don't know how he did it. He just did it. Now, there are three views or theories of creation. First is the evolutionary theory, and there are many variations and differences among evolutionists, but basically they believe that man evolved from a one-celled animal through a succession of lower forms until he reached the exalted animal we call man. Now, we had Dr. B.R. Lakin here for number of revivals, I think 10 or 12 revivals, and he's a great man and a brilliant speaker. A lot of people in our church were saved under Dr. Lakin's ministry. And Dr. Lakin said, I'd like to have this on tape and just turn it, let us see how Dr. Lakin said it. But he said, One day back in the we don't know when, a man got tired of swinging by his tail in a coconut tree and jumped down on the ground and stood upright and put on a suit and walked into a classroom and called himself a college professor and said, "Thank God I'm a man." Now that is ridiculous, I know, but it's no more ridiculous than the theory of evolution. When I was a Youth for Christ director in Illinois, before I came here, I was talking to a teacher at Dixon High School, Dixon, Illinois, and he said he couldn't believe that evolution was just a theory. And just like, you know, they're saying today about global warming, that it's that man is causing global warming. Now, that there is no proof for evolution and no proof for global warming caused by man. Now, there's no way evolution can be proven. You know, it leaves God out of the picture. And God created man. Also, it denies the Word of God. And God's Word says God created man. And for 70 or 80 years, we've been teaching that man came from a monkey in our schools and colleges all across America. And now we're acting like a monkey all across America. Our problem in America is we've turned from God and His Word. And the confusion, it's going to get worse, folks. We better just keep our faith in God. This thing's going to get worse because we've turned from God. Now, another view of creation is the creation theory. It does not accept the gap theory that Rightly Dividing the Word and the Scofield Bible teaches. Or it doesn't accept the evolutionary theory. The creation theory is God made everything in just 6 days. Some think that God put coal in the oil deposits in the earth, and that most people think that it takes thousands and thousands of years to form those things. And then some think that coal and oil in the earth is a result of cataclysmic events of the flood. Again, that is a theory. And there's many, creation theory came into the existence about the last 40, 50 years, and many good people believe this, and it's a plausible theory. In fact, most fundamentalists and fundamental colleges believe and teach the theory, the creation theory, and is popularized by Dr. Henry Morris. So there's the theories of creation, the evolutionary theory, the creation theory, and then the gap theory, as taught in our book and also in the Scofield Reference Bible. It's a gap theory or restoration theory, some call it. And most premillennialists believed in the gap theory back when I was in college. And most of them have gone over today in our Christian colleges, and our most fundamentalists gone over to six-day creation. But I see myself no reason to give up the gap theory. And Dr. Monroe Parker, one of the greatest men that's ever preached in America, believed in the gap theory. Dr. Donald Gray Barnhouse, great Bible scholar of last century, believed in the gap theory, and the Scofield Bible teaches it. Pink teaches it. Larkin, Dr. Lakin, Bob Jones Jr., I was told he believed it when I was there. And many premillennialists still believe in the gap theory today. And great men of God, more intelligent, more spiritual than I am, and are divided on the gap theory and the six-day creation theory. If I get to heaven, when I get to heaven, not if I get to heaven, I'm on my way to heaven, I got my ticket punched, and find out the gap theory is wrong, it will not matter one iota to me. And if you don't believe in the gap theory, don't be so cockeyed sure. You can't prove that I'm wrong because I believe the gap theory. Now, the gap theory is not a conviction of mine. It is purely a theory. And let me stop and just say this. Let's get to do a little preaching. We must distinguish between, as we go down through life, distinguish between conviction and preference. Now, I die for my conviction that Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, is God come in the flesh. The only way you can get to heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ. A man, or the Bible is the Word of God. If a man said, you give up your faith in Christ as the only Savior, I'm going to blow your brains out. I just have to say, let's blow my brains out. Or if the Word of God, you know, by the way, folks, around the world today, people are dying for the more than almost in any other century. And if you live long enough, probably you're going to suffer persecution for being a born-again believer and a fundamental Bible-believing person in America. But we must distinguish, though, between conviction and preference. Now, I have convictions, or I have preferences on the length of a man's hair. You know, most of you been around me know why. But it's a preference, not a conviction. I wouldn't die for my conviction on hair. And I believe that, other things like that. On ladies' dress, I have a strong preference, but it's not a conviction. And so we need to distinguish between conviction and preference. And I got a little preaching in there. By the way, ladies, you ought to keep plenty of clothes on. Somebody say amen right there. Yeah, that's a weak amen. It's still true, I think. You ought to dress like a Christian, act like a Christian, and look like a Christian, and stay out of the hell holes of the world. I'm going to get a little preaching in before I go on here. Now, let's notice the creative ages there in your outline. There's the original earth and the chaotic earth and in Genesis 1 and 1 and Genesis 1, 2, and then the present earth in Genesis 1, 3 through 31. Then the antediluvian age. This is before the flood. And this age extends from the restoration or the recreation of the earth from its chaotic condition to the flood. Then the present age that we're in today. Look up over at Galatians, the first chapter, verse 4. Galatians. Galatians 1, verse 4. We see who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. So this is the present age that we live in. And it extends from the flood to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And the second coming is called the Revelation. Then the age of ages. This begins at the second coming and ends when the earth is renovated by fire. Turn over to 2 Peter, the third chapter. 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter 3, verse 7. Page 1319 in your old Scofield Reference Bible. 2 Peter 3, 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved under fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's a good word, verse that Calvin saw to look at there. It's his will that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we look according to promise for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Then That's the ages of age of ages, then the eternal ages of this age begins when the Son of God surrenders the perfect. This will be on out there in the future when the Son of God surrenders the perfect heaven and earth up to the Father. There's going to be a time when the Lord is going to turn this thing back over to the Father. And the time ends and eternity begins. The devil at this time, when time ends and eternity begins, folks, we need to pause for just a minute and just think. Just think a little bit about this. The devil and the Antichrist and the false prophet and every sinner that hasn't trusted Christ and been born again will be in the lake of fire. And we who are saved will be serving the Lord on a new heaven and a new earth. I'm glad I'm headed for the new heaven and new earth. And folks, what I want to challenge you on this tonight, that the Lord just sort of spoke to me about right here about this. Your children, you ought to be reminded that one day when the heaven and earth flee away and we have a new earth, if your children don't get born again and if they don't get saved, they will be with the devil and the Antichrist and the false prophets and the Hitlers and the Mussolinis and all the unsaved of all ages. You don't want your children to be in the devil. And so you ought to warn your children to get saved. Don't fall for a false profession, but get born. Make sure you're born again so that you can one day and be in the new heaven and the earth with the Lord Jesus and all the saints of all ages. Now, in spite of all the ages and the cosmic changes, I'm glad I serve one who never changes. Aren't you glad of that? Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus said, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Now, years ago, I hadn't heard this in a long time. My brother Gary, have we sung Hallelujah, I'm Saved right here? Hallelujah, I'm saved. Hallelujah, I'm saved. I'm saved from sin. Jesus dwells within. Hallelujah, I'm saved. Can you think you can lead that, Brother Gary? Let's all sing that. I want to sing. Hallelujah, I'm saved. If you can say it, sing it. If you're saved, let's sing it out. Hallelujah, I'm saved. Hallelujah, I'm saved. I'm saved from sin. Jesus dwells within. Hallelujah, I'm saved. Well, that's a good one to teach, Brother Gary. Well, next week from a month from tonight, we'll study the dispensations. So God bless you. Brother Jody, I'll turn it over to you now.
Let's all bow our heads, please. Close our eyes. Even during these teaching sessions, I've learned that you never know how the Lord will speak to hearts. And I want to give you an opportunity, if the Lord has spoken to you, to respond. Maybe the Lord has spoken to you about somebody that's not a Christian, that when the earth and the heavens flee away, and melt with a fervent heat, and the Son of God rules and reigns, those people will be out into eternity without God, without hope. However the Lord's using this, let me just have her just to begin to play through softly. If God has used this tonight, even if you don't come forward, just pray right there at your seat. Nothing else, just say, thank you, God, that I am on the winning side. Thank you that when this earth is destroyed, and I thank you that I'm going to be with you. That's enough to praise God about tonight, friends. Keep playing through.